Which one was first?
I think I'm in Nine Locks right now.
Check behind me. Am I in Nine Locks?
I have no idea where that is. I've not been to either. Yeah. Yes, I have been to American Pilot, the American place. Not the American place.
American Royal. Yeah.
I am Roz. Joining me, of course, is Ian. And together, despite the fact that neither of us are American, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. It's in the name. Tonight is the American Pale Ale. I think my first APA I ever had was around the corner in Parsboro at Two Islands, and I loved it. And I have become an American. As soon as someone says American Pale Ale, I have wanted to try it.
Over an India Pale Ale, of course, any day, right?
Well, I mean, I'll try your IPA probably as well, you know, just to say that I tried it. But APAs interested me a little bit more. And as we, well, learned, you asked me what the difference was. And I immediately looked it up. The main difference is in the hops, where IPAs use in English hops, APAs are made with American hops that give off more of a citrusy flavor. So an APA apparently is usually a more citrusy flavor, and it's also lesser in alcohol percentage. Still a little bit high, though. Even the lower of the two is a 5.5. So we get a 5.5 and a 5.7.
Then I do have another question.
No.
Because I'm just, I know this is going to blow your mind. Okay, well, you said, why does that only Americans and Indian pale ales, whereas the rest of them are just called, but we do have just pale ales. And I, so whenever you, we've probably got some pale ales in our inventory, and I've drunk pale ales many times before, but they're just called pale ales. So again, what's the difference between just a regular pale ale and an American pale ale? Now I'm really asking you, aren't I? It's just...
Yes. The difference between... So I see the difference between a pale ale and an IPA, and it just said the IPA will have a bigger hop flavor and a slightly higher ABV. But the thing is, when is a pale ale no longer a pilsner or a cream ale or one of the, you know, a lager? What different? And I think we learned that it usually comes down to the fermentation, the process of it, where... A pale ale almost seems to be, I hate to say it, is, if your beer is a pale ale, is that just a catch-all of, we didn't brew it the proper way to be called a pilsner or one of these things, or we didn't top ferment or bottom ferment it in the right direction and use the right thing. So, oh, hell, we missed a step. Well, then it's just a pale ale, then, is what it is. So I feel like that's just an all-encompassing beer.
And then some crazy person in the new craft brewing industry makes it a dark pale ale. And then okay, it doesn't make any sense anymore. Beer has stopped making sense altogether. Because you have white stouts and black lagers. So in that case, why can't you have a dark pale ale?
Because, so I guess you've messed up your... Well, you've got your brown ale. So maybe a brown or... No, the Schwartz beer is a dark lager. We're remembering everything that we've ever drank before in our entirety of our lives. But first, main point. Main point is... And it's been a while since we've had something from these chaps. In fact, the last thing I remember trying was we had the blonde ale. I finally decided to have the dirty blonde when we had some blonde ales from Nine Locks. Nine Locks Brewing Company out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, does the Trail Duster, the American Pale Ale. And I sort of like the concept of, you know, you've got your pioneer dude cowboy looking type thing. But here's the bit that I love. And I'm not sure if you noticed this.
Beard.
The beard shape
is a hop.
It's a hop, so the little spikiness of the hops. But the other thing is, both of these, now, the Annapolis Brewing Company, they do have some earth tones, very orange, beige, light brown in colors. But this can from Nine Locks is also very dusty trail, out on the lonesome prairie or whatnot, pioneer days and that kind of thing. Those colors, that's what it reminisces. Can I say that?
It's been getting even dustier because we've had this a good long while.
We have had it a while. I'm a little worried.
It was probably even dustier this can than it should be. Otherwise, the top of mine is dusty.
I'm sure it's fine. So on the can, it has a number of things. Directions for use. Chill. Open, in brackets, highly recommended. Enjoy and repeat.
I failed then. I have not chilled this one. This one has been nowhere near a fridge.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Wait. Pete, please drink responsibly. Brewed and canned by the Nine Locks Brewing Company, people who take care of chickens are literally chicken tenders. There's a joke. There's a joke on the can. It's like Bazooka Joe. I love it.
You mentioned chickens this evening. When you opened up your photograph, you mentioned your son and chickens. Is this chicken? Is it chicken evening?
I planned nothing for what was written on this can. It just happens to be that way. Sadly, I don't have a pint glass for Nine Locks. I'm surprised. Well, I haven't really been to their establishment because out there in Waverly, every time I drive past, it is packed full and it's difficult to get to. However, this is a 5.5% alcohol by volume. It does say 35 IBUs, which is the lower of the two still, but often the beers that we like are usually in kind of the 20-ish range. Nope. So where this says it's not quite as hoppy or as strong as an IPA and it's more citrusy, I'm interested. Because like I said, the APA that I tried and I really enjoyed out of Two Islands, it tasted downright malt, bready and malty to me, and I just loved how crisp it was. But this is it's coldish. It was coldish. Oh, that opened much more pleasantly than I was afraid, because as you say, we've had this one for
I'm gonna open this dusty trail and pour it into the glass.
There we go. Now we're getting unlike other weeks, we're going to quickly slide into our Texan accents. Oh, I love the cooler of that. Look at, oh, that's some golden. That's almost an orange juice.
Yeah, this one was a bit lively, so it's just, it popped a little bit over the table. It's a bit frothy.
I mentioned breadiness in that other APA, and the smell that I'm getting off this, I'm getting off the head. I can't wait to enjoy this. I think this is going to be amazing. This is going to solidify my thought that maybe I like APAs.
You know how long it is since I've had a Nine Locks beer?
Yes. 77 days and 13 hours.
You're close. It was about 5 hours ago because when I was in the city, I went to the place just around the corner from Tim and we sat there. And I indeed had, you mentioned it 5 minutes ago, a Dirty Blonde from Nine Locks.
You did. I ended up really liking them, which has led me. I would love to have Nine Locks on the show because they've got three or four of their fruit blondes in the LC right now. You can get the watermelon blonde, which we had one of our first times ever having a beer. We had a watermelon blonde and we liked it, but they've got their blueberry blonde and there's maybe a strawberry blonde as well. I don't remember. But there's a number of them. Mine looks a bit like that as well. But again, the head on it, tiny bubbles. I am digging the tiny bubbles. It makes it look nitrogen infused. It's still fizzy. There's lots of carbonation going on in there as we speak.
Yeah. You just didn't like the whole, I know we won't go into it again because you won't.
It was the naming. No.
You were struggling with the name. Yeah, I know. We won't go into it again. But also, if you remember, look, I think everything by Nine Locks that I've tried is fabulous. And you remember one of those very early IPA evenings we had? And the IPA they do, just called the IPA, was pretty much the best of that evening as well.
We do. We still talk about that one. Whenever we talk about the fact that, you know, we still blanket say we don't really like IPAs, we have started adding on to that, but we really loved this particular one. And we've talked about the memory for flavor before, and that is certainly one that has maintained the memory of that particular one. And I think someone asked one night, who asked me what my favorites were? And I think I've got my five, you know, from each category, I've got a number of, this is the place that has my favorite. This is the place that has my favorite. That, this is the place that has my favorite. That, and I've got my
memory astonishes me because mine's all melange of tastes and flavors, and I can't really remember that.
How long ago did we have the IPA? Do you remember what it tastes like, or do you just remember that you liked it?
I remember that I liked it because we had six of them that night, and I remember Keir sitting there saying, "Yeah, I'll have them all." And I think I had tastes of all of them, and then gave all of the, like, three quarters of a can of all of them to him, and he just was like drinking them, like, you know, double fisting. But I remember thinking at the time, the IPA, I was like, wow, because it's so the name of it is so,
you expect it to go big. Yeah,
arrogant. But there this again, is, this it kind is of the one. That's right. I can see Mr. Tane. Actually floating in it. There's a big lump of dust here. And I think the problem is because, like I said, I didn't wipe the can and it has been sat in the corner, all trail and dusty. So this is a very authentic dusty trail beer I'm having here. There's bits floating in and I'm looking forward to it too. This is going to be cool.
Well, mine was in my little cold cupboard over there that's usually full of spiders, and I didn't have to wipe any spiders off it. So I'm actually a little bit proud of that. Perhaps they've died off. Perhaps
the beer in your spider cabinet then.
Exactly. 5.5%. This looks good. It's a little cloudy, but yet still see-through. So it gives it an appearance of an unfiltered. I wouldn't go so far as saying it's hazy, and I'm glad that they didn't make that one of the descriptors. Because I think we started mentioning that feels like a bit of a cop-out. Oh, this is specifically a hazy beer. And I said, okay, well, it's just unfiltered. If you run out of things to talk about your beer, and then you say, this is our, well, pale is an actual term that people go with, but no, it doesn't say that it's hazy, and I wouldn't even consider it that hazy. It's still pretty translucent. I am all set. Can you get it to your lips past the film?
Cheers.
Right. It's certainly citrusy, but it's not punch you in the face citrusy. It's got a bit of a bitter. You taste the hops, but again, it's not punch you in the face with hops. And there's a little tiny bite of bitter at the tail end, just that little kind of ang of the hop flavor.
Yes.
No. But it's not, none of them are too big.
No, it's not it's like you mentioned there, it does have the little bit of the hop at the end. So it's reminiscent of one of the easier to drink IPAs at the end, but not through the beginning and the middle. I thought that was very subtle. It's I was waiting for something to happen and it didn't until right at the end.
Is this just a beginner IPA? So you're warming yourself up for the really, really vegetative flavors of the stronger stuff.
The citrus there you're getting, it's just really hinty at it. It's really subtle. I like it more than most IPAs, I would say, but it's still, and in fact, the second good taste of it there, It's definitely got to me an IPA-ness about just quite a subtle one.
Yeah, like just a lighter IPA. But I think the fruit, the citrus flavor, is holding itself strong despite a slight bitter hop back end to it. So the aftertaste maintains a citrus note to it. It just sits on the palate, and you're like, yeah, I feel like I've just had an almost a tropical drink.
This is going to be the third time I mentioned in some form.
I can't wait to see where you're going with a chicken reference after drinking this.
Can you remember that as far back as last week when we were drinking beer on your show?
77 hours. I don't know.
168 hours ago.
Yeah, that's the one.
I remember saying, it may have actually been 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, that it was a bit reminiscent, the beer we were drinking, and the name, I can't remember what it was, of Old Speckled Hen, the British ale that I really go to quite a lot.
Yeah.
And this, again, has that kind of flavour to it, which is not a bad thing for me at all, because it's I do like a pale ale. I really do, and that's what that is. That's like an English pale ale. It feels to me with a, but that one used to be very malty, but it's not so much anymore. It's certainly got, it's veered towards a little more hoppy and floral for sure. And this is, again, a little bit like that. I forget what the beer was that I was referring it to before, but this is, again, a little bit like that. I quite like this.
Was it a British something or... I can't. I do remember you bringing up the old speckled hen, and I remember us. We've had a few old speckled hens every now and then. But and the big difference that I can think of is when now that I have and we've had plenty and plenty of craft beers. When I have another beer off the shelf, you know, not from around here, from further away, you can often taste there's a preservatives taste. Because even though this has been in the closet for a while, it's not specifically made to last or be shipped places or so. And that's the flavor that I think I was trying to find and hate in the Keats, the Olens, when we did that a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it was that week that you said this tastes like old speckled hen. That wouldn't have come.
Oh, no, you're probably right. No, it wasn't. No.
So I feel like these just it's the equivalent of having a fresh out the field vegetable as opposed to this is a shrink wrapped wrapped in plastic vegetable from the grocery store.
I'm just saying because I'm nodding when you're saying those stubs, but I'm saying because I'm drinking this. I'm nodding as well at the flavor. I like this. I'm quite surprised because I wasn't that excited about an American pale ale, but
I was curious and hopeful. And I think this one is, I was even more hopeful when I smelled that delicious odor of the bready smell. I was looking forward to a possibility of a bit more hop profile or hop, what's the one? Hop for, no, hop flavoring.
I wasn't getting bready, personally. I was getting a little bit of the citrusy nose.
I didn't get any citrus off the nose.
Oh, okay. I'm also getting a little bit in as I'm drinking it, but it's really very subtle. And I've got a plate of mangoes here, sliced mango. So there's probably a little bit of fruit going in there as well. Not helping myself, am I? I might be contaminating the taste a little bit with mango. But it
happens.
It definitely does have a bit of fruitiness to it and citrusy. I like it.
Now and then, especially if we're on location, we went to Roof Hound and you said, the beer's okay, but this burger's delicious. And you're busy stuffing your face with burger and fries.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a good burger. I had one today in the block in Bedford. It was a delicious burger. Every time I go to a pub, I always say, I might just have a salad this time or other than the burger. And then when the menu comes and there's burgers on it, I'm like, it's the house burger. I need to try the burger.
Well, that. And they've got things like, here is our whiskey barbecue sauce burger with red onions. And I said, you're talking my language. And they this is our blue cheese sauce burger. Oh, yes, please get it all. Oh, this one's been injected with jalapeno. And
not sure about that one.
Want a burger right now.
Mushrooms on it. Oh, my God, to die for.
Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
I was just coming to American Pale Ales, and by the way, I've not had many, so because I'd normally think, I'll probably have a look at something else on the menu. If I was just coming to American Pale Ales, I'd say it's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, this is a niche, a style that you would want to get into? Should we be curious about some others of this type? And again, we'll eventually need to ask a professional about this, but is if something is just listed as a pale ale, is that its own category or is that just one that fails to be everything else?
Right. That's a good question because I guess that's where I was going with that myself when I said, okay, we've got IPAs and APAs. Then what about the old generic pale ale?
What's a PA? I think.
Yeah, PA, absolutely.
I think we can just call that one a Pennsylvanian.
My dad's been a PA all his life, and by the cats, yours is too. And we're following hot on the heels. We're all piss artists.
I thought you were going to say professional accountant.
Is there a maritime pale ale? Rebecca just said there's a maritime pale ale. Is there a maritime pale ale?
What?
Okay. Who's
what? Tell me this. Maritime. Maritime pale ale. Grimross. A hop forward
It's American pale ale.
It's the name of a beer by the Grimross Brewing.
New Brunswick?
New Brunswick's, you just said?
I've never heard of Grimross. So
well, people have called you Grim for years.
They are
I'm
in Fredericton.
Fredericton, there we go.
They're in uptown Fredericton, and they do the Maritime Pale Ale, which is a hop-forward American pale ale, dry-hopped to showcase, oh, you're going to love these words, pine,
oh,
citrus, and stone fruit. So it might be a Christmas tree.
Yep.
And to be honest, Maritime Pale Ale, and it tastes like Christmas tree. Yes, we are quite famous for our balsam fir and evergreen trees and whatnot.
Mmm.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we'll stick where we are.
Tree flavored beer, sure.
The only time that we've come across pine beer infused with pine, there was one notable moment, and we were both, oh, this is a never to be repeated experiment. Never ever gonna drink that beer again. That was a one off.
Oh yes, I mean I loved the name of it. It was quite aptly named, wasn't that the tannin bomb? That was it. It was B-O-U-B-O-M-B.
B-A-U-M. It's German, or was it? Was it?
It was a tannin bomb. B-O-M-B was the name of the beer.
Oh. And tannin, a play on the Christmas tree in German. Wow, yeah. I don't remember. It's called tannin.
I don't remember that.
It was crazy.
Speaking of our terrible, I can't think of a single activity that we partake in that would affect our memory.
No.
Short or long term. So anyway, Dennis, our next beer is out of the Annapolis Brewing Company. I am leaving a tiny little bit at the bottom of my Nine Locks Trail Duster, but the exact same coolers and almost scheme, but all of the Annapolis Brewing Company ones are done very much like this. Coming in at 5.7 ABU, so it's a higher percentage, and even more IBUs, 42 IBUs. And this one is the fifth anniversary American Pale Ale from Annapolis Brewing Company, because they celebrated their fifth anniversary last year.
Was it last year?
Okay. It was 2022, because it does say at the top of the can, Annapolis Brewing Company established 2017. So if you do the math.
Well, good research.
Do the math. It's all right there. And it says, this beer is about sharing and gathering with friends to help celebrate our five-year anniversary. We made one of our favorite styles, an American Pale Ale. I will pause right there, because when I posted the picture of the two beers that we were going to try today on the old website there, and I tagged everybody in it, the Annapolis Brewing Company put a comment on it saying, oh, we hope you like it, you know, thanks for reviewing it, and also said, APAs are our favorites. And I went, well, all right. So, I mean, doubling down, says on the can, they told me exactly in the comments, they said, oh yeah, try the APA, it is our favorite. This hop-forward beer with a malty backbone and moderate ABV is a testament of our journey. It celebrates our last 5 years and kicks off the adventure to the next five.
So APAs, American Pale Ales, as a species of beer is their favorite, rather than this beer in particular being their favorite brew of their own that they make. Is that what I'm garnering from that?
That is what I glean as well. We made one of our favorite styles, an American Pale Ale.
Okie dokie.
So the crazies around at Annapolis Brewing Company, who I've not spoken to yet, but I did invite them in the comments. I did say, yes, how would you like to come and talk to us about this?
Right.
They apparently favor the APA. This smells hoppy and citrusy. This smells like the other one tastes. It does.
You've
not
got there ahead of me, mate.
I just cracked it, that's all.
Yeah, hang on, here we go. Oh, it's a lovely sound, isn't it? A can of beer opening, it's right up there with some of the greatest sounds on the planet.
It is, like, it's very nice.
I used to look forward to hearing, much as many Canadians do, Hockey Night in Canada theme opening up, and in Britain we have the match of the day theme that starts at 10:30 on a Saturday evening, which is
you know when we've got the song, the American Pie song, and they talk about the day the music died, or the night the music died was when the plane crashed, and there was all the American rock stars were all in the plane crash, and that was kind of when people had decided that that's when music died and it all changed. Yeah. I think the moment that the moment where we quickly had this discussion earlier, where my cynicism that money affects every single decision at a certain level of business and corporations and whatnot, that cynicism came about, and it happened the moment, the week. It was a big kerfuffle. The Hockey Night in Canada theme song was no longer owned by Hockey Night in Canada. When that whole situation happened, that was when I pretty much said to myself, you know what? I think maybe capitalism kind of sucks. And I started becoming incredibly cynical about money being spent and who makes decisions based on what. And I finally just said, you know what? Every decision comes down to how many dollars and cents can I make off of this?
So did someone buy the theme? Is that what it is? And it's now like no one can play it anymore unless someone makes money out of it. Is that how
sort
that
of, sort oh. of, it is a song that was owned by a gentleman whose name escapes me right now. And he wrote it for, and gave it to the CBC and said, here you are, have a song. And said, oh, great. And then 1 year he came forward, and honestly, I've got no ill will towards this man for saying this, but he finally popped up and said, hey, listen, do you know how you're making $8 quadrillion a year being Hockey Night in Canada, and everyone knows the theme song and it's wonderful? Well, you know, I wrote that. So could I maybe get just a little piece of that?
Yeah.
Could you maybe pay me a small amount of royalties for so the CBC said, but we're a free this, you know, we're government funded, so we don't have the money to spend on royalties for this. So no, we absolutely can't give you money for your song. We're just going to keep using it because it's ours. And then so this guy, the composer of the song, looks over and he says, well, actually, if you look at this little bit of paper I've got over here, it says that the song's mine and I can own it and sell it to whoever I like. And over here is, now I'm trying to remember if he sold it to either CTV or TSN, one of the two, because they said, oh, CBC doesn't want to pay you royalties for this. Why don't you sell the song to us and we'll pay you royalties for your song? So the Hockey Night in Canada theme song was sold by the guy who originally owned it, even though he offered it up to CBC in the first place, saying, can just give me a little, just a fraction, a small piece of what money you are making. Copious amounts of people tune in to watch, you know, Don Cherry and what's his face argue with each other back and forth.
Hey, I don't want to interrupt your flow there, but they're not tuning in to listen to his music. They're tuning in to see the hockey. Now, if they had no music whatsoever to introduce it, they still tune in to watch the show. But I understand you're saying that, but I'm totally in agreement with you that it's still synonymous.
It's
with,
iconic.
Right. It's still synonymous.
Right. He waited 20 years and it was the most iconic thing because here are my only questions to you. Do you watch hockey a lot, and are you a hockey fan? And your answer is yeah.
Never watched it. But
how does the song go?
I've no idea.
You don't know how the song goes? I thought you were going to say, do you know how the song goes?
Oh no, I don't. I don't watch Hockey Night in Canada. No, I just know of it because I heard people talking about it. Even though I've been a 15, I know I've heard it. I know I've heard it, but I can't do it right
this
now.
This ruins my entire argument.
Oh, I'm sorry.
that even as a non-hockey watching fan, but everyone in the country knew the song. Everyone, you know, the walking just go dun da 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 ba 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 ba. And that's everyone good. Knew it. We all knew the song, and it was just synonymous. It was iconic. It was this amazing thing. And all the guy said was, you're making a lot of money off of this. Don't you feel it should go to someone who wrote your iconic song?
Yeah.
And the CBC said, No, they didn't even say, ooh, they didn't even like, you know, lowball them in it. Okay, we'll give you like 1%, you know, 0.5% of the profits. You could have some of that. Didn't start. It was just no. So he said, fine, I seem to own my song and I'm going to now sell it to them. So all of a sudden, one year, CBC's Hockey Night in Canada had a different song.
Yep.
They held a contest. They turned it into a stupid reality TV show, even, to hunt for the best one. And they had everyone vote what was going to be their best one. And that was another point in the history of everything changing and being annoying, is when Boaty McBoatface was a thing. That was when I lost faith in when public officials say, we'll get the public's opinion. I'm like, how has no one learned anything from this?
In support of what you're saying there about they were trying to vote for a new one, I mentioned very quickly the equivalent of the match of the day tune, which is obviously soccer being a big thing in the UK like hockey is over here. The match of the day tune has been going since the 60s, and it introduces Saturday evening English football at highlights package on, and it's been going for, like I say, I don't know, 60 odd years. Now, they had that same theme tune for all that time, and then the BBC decided, we'll change this a little bit now. It's getting a little bit boring, a little bit bland. So what we'll do, we'll jazz it up a little bit and make it all funky, and we'll throw in some woos and twee and some laser beams, etc.
Ruin. It's a big word for ruin.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They tried to make it snazzy, even though it was the same iconic tune, which just went with that. They tried to bring it into the sort of 80s or 90s back of you. And everyone went, what the hell have you done? What are you doing? So they quickly backpedaled and went, all right, we'll put the old one back on. Everyone went, because it's like settling into your favorite armchair with a warm cup of, a warm pint of beer on a Saturday evening, knowing what you're happy with.
Mother's gone into the kitchen to warm up me pot of beer.
Put the beer on the stove, darling. The football's on.
Gross.
That's the way things are.
That's exactly the way things are.
Yeah. This beer smells quite different than the last one.
But at the same time, it smells exactly like how that one tasted. So I'm wondering if it's going to go the opposite way. It did say it got me hopes up. It said malt. Malty backbone. Malty. Please have a malty backbone.
Not please. A balty backbone. That would be tasting like...
Not a Baltic backbone. No.
No. Or a Baltic backbone. I've just taken a swig off of it. I shouldn't have done that. I should have waited for you. It's actually not massively dissimilar than the other one. And they're both American pale ales, I suppose.
Well, all right, then.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the whole schnief in there, then.
All right, get in there.
Very similar.
Yeah, it is a little similar, isn't it? But, I mean, there's some subtle differences, and I'm kind of working on what they are.
Yeah.
I'm glad we... On this occasion specifically, I'm really glad we kept a snifter back of the other one, because I think this is definitely going to need... some comparison side by side.
Very, very rigorous comparison, because they're so very similar, but there's something going on.
Yeah, there is
where
something.
The bitter hits earlier in the Annapolis 5th anniversary. The bitter hits earlier, and it does not have quite as much of the citrus profile the whole way through. Where I found the trail duster was... There's a bit of citrus on the front end. There's a bit of citrus in the middle. Like not overstayed, not overdone, but this lovely citrus balance hits on all three points. Whereas the Annapolis one is kind of, yeah, here's your citrus, but now we're going to relax into this more hoppy back end. And the flavor of citrus, you're almost going to forget about the citrus flavor by the tail end of the mouthful.
Oh, that was an awful lot to take in.
Sorry. Someone said the other day, this comes up every now and then, where I talk, where they all say, oh, you were busy talking. I didn't want to interrupt you. And I have to tell people, every time this comes up, when someone says, I didn't want to interrupt, I always say, please do. Because the best way I ever described it was back when we were doing improv theater comedy stuff on the stage. We had a weekly show, and I would hop into a scene, and the scene was, you know, just kind of keep things going, hop in, jump in, and just keep going. And I would just go, and my mouth would just start, and my imagination and brain would just fuel my mouth with things. So yeah. Eventually someone said, I didn't want to cut you off. You were just going, you were on a roll. And I said, no, listen, I will continue speaking until I am physically impeded.
Someone puts their hand across your mouth and holds you off.
I don't know when to shut up. And it's taken me, I'm 40, what am I now? 45. And I'm still working on just a concept right at the front, at the front of my brain is maybe I should shut up right now.
Well, I guess we're in the same boat there, because I do remember all my school reports when I was younger. The teachers would say, Ian's intelligent. He's got some smarts, but we should stop talking sometimes. This one here is, it doesn't have the back end of hoppiness that the former does.
No.
This to me, and that was very subtle anyway in the previous one. This one is a much more, it's level, is a level taste, level all the way through it. It ends as it starts, I would say. It doesn't have a hoppy back end. I like it. Rebecca's just given me the word. It was a really difficult English word called balanced. For some reason, that failed to come to me.
Ah, you know,
45. Well, I'm 105, and words like that do tend to slip out from my vocabulary. Yes, it's. I think it's more balanced than the former.
Maybe you should resort back to French, and you'll remember the word correctly. It's balance. Balance. See, that's the balanced. I feel it. You might be right. You might be right that it's more balanced, but I feel like the Trail Duster had that balance of citrus the whole way through, where this might have the balance of bitter through, but it's got a citrus slope. Oh, okay. So the opposite of balance. I'm now going to invent and create a new concept to you.
Imbalance.
Slope. The slope of the citrus flavor in this is declining. It is a declining slope of have some citrus and then I am going away.
Wow.
If the Trail Duster is a balance for citrus, but the fifth anniversary is a slope. But for bitter,
yeah,
the fifth anniversary is a balance, but the Trail Duster bitter was an upward slope, which left you at bitter at the end. And I'm just making stuff up constantly.
No, you're not.
Mostly because I can't shut up.
This is not just a beer show. It's a physics show, too, quite clearly.
And apparently grammatical show, where we say words and then just apply them to things. My wife is letting me know that my son, who I got to sleep just before we started the show, she says, he's still asleep, I'm afraid. But
well, you said it's also a grammatical show. You should have said, my son, with whom, not who I am with. So I'm going to correct you on that one.
Oh, wait, with whom? I got him to go to sleep just before I came to start this show.
With whom I got to fall asleep.
No, that's terrible grammar. You're from the mother country. No,
You're Scottish. What would you know about English?
I know that if you see a red coat, you shoot as soon as you see the whites of their eyes or something like that. No, wait, that's the American Revolution, wasn't it? What was... Don't
no,
shoot. What's the line? Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. It's a famous, famous war quote, but I couldn't tell you which war it's from.
It was from Star Wars. Maybe not. I don't know. I may have made that up.
We've gone completely off the rails here. This
is... I prefer, I don't like to say I prefer these two, because I actually started by saying they're quite similar. And they are quite similar, but I think this is more balanced. And it doesn't have the slightly hoppy end to it, which I quite enjoyed for the Trail Buster. So both, I do like them both.
I like them both and in different ways. I liked the fact that the trail duster was a little bit, ooh, zing, pow.
Yeah.
And it certainly had more of a citrus note to it. I find the Annapolis Brewery, are you getting citrusy anywhere in here?
Not as much. No, it's a little more in a little more veering towards the IPA-ishness.
Yeah.
Blend. I'm not getting a great deal of citrus, and I did have that a subtle note in the trail duster.
And
I'm sure there is,
but
it's not as apparent to me.
No, and I liked it. I liked that aspect of the trail duster. So I'm kind of missing that in the Annapolis Brewing Company, because again, going back to what's the difference between an American pale ale, it's as American pale ales. Oh wait, IPAs are quite bitter.
Yeah.
American pale ales are
festive.
Holy cow! Dog.
I feel protest. Dog. I heard a protest from that in the background.
That she did not want me to look up the differences between an IPA and an APA. Apparently,
they completely disagreed. Olive disagreed with everything we just said.
Hey. Come here. Relax. There. Okay. You can read this for me. So over here it says what the difference between an American pale ale and an IPA is. Bow wow 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 wow. Bow wow 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 wow. Now hang on, I gotta Google translate this. It's a level of bitterness. An IPA is gonna be more bitter because an IPA has more hops. This does not specifically say, because where we read it before, it said that the APA is more of a citrus flavor. So I expected that. And I found that in the trail duster.
It's a little better.
We're getting the facial expressions here.
Yeah.
What's you don't need a podcast. You just need Instagram pictures. It's just facial expressions.
The thing is, Brittany gives the same facial expression to these as we both give to sours when she goes,
It's funny. Ian is, he's mentioning that your reactions to every beer that isn't a sour is our reactions to sours. And all we get is really a facial expression. We're just like, ugh. And so for anything that's not a sour, you just go, ugh. But yeah, we have to come up with words.
Ross, I'm getting toward the bottom. Look at the sea monkeys.
You're getting I'm not, but mine's still a little bit cloudy. I enjoy the cloudiness still.
There's a lot going on. This is not filmed, and I'm glad about that.
I think you're getting a little bit of dust. Some of the dust from your trail duster seems to have leapt into your Annapolis Brewing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if it is filtered, they're going to say, an Annapolis Brewing is going to say, yes, it is. But I really don't think it is. Look at it. It's a very hazy thing going on down the bottom of the glass. And that was a very clear glass to begin with. So there was nothing sitting in the bottom of that. There were no spiders or anything from your closet.
Here's my problem with the American Pale, the fifth anniversary APA from Annapolis Brewing. They say this hop forward beer. Agreed. We've got some hop forward. But they say malty backbone.
Oh, okay.
I'm hunting my taste buds for a malty backbone.
Yep, me too.
Me cup runneth dry searching for a malty backbone.
You know, quite often when you read something, the suggestion, it gets into your, it becomes, what's that word? When it gets into your brain, it becomes...
mental.
Help me out here with the word. I couldn't even think of balanced earlier on. How the hell am I going to think of this?
Imaginative. Cerebral.
No.
It's, cognitive.
Well, anyway, the suggestion of something manifests somehow within you. So, I'm getting that. It's subconscious. It's subliminal. That's the word I'm getting. It's subliminally.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, that's
happened to us a number of times.
It has, but not on this occasion. You just said searching for a malty backbone. I'm not getting it, to be honest.
No, it says right there in the can. There is an malty backbone. And I'm like, I would love to find it because I was experiencing a bready smell in the first one, but no, these are both rather the same. I'm getting more citrus out of the Trail Duster. And okay, now I got I'm a bit really concerned.
By the way, look, I have, they are equidepthed at the moment, and I do have a leaning. I must go to back to the Trail Duster now because I really feel that I want to feel the difference, to experience the difference now. Right, I'm going to do. Oh, you are having a bit of the old H2O before, and it's not a bad idea.
My glass of sliced mango.
Right.
For the palate cleanser.
Oh, yeah, it's
see, quite clear.
It's quite different now. It may, I don't know whether or not it's because, have you look at the bottom? Can I see the bottom of your...
mine's, your like, I'm even trying to stir it. Oh, wait. Now I've got the sea monkeys pissed off. Did you see that? They got mad. Now they're in there.
Duster is quite clear still, and the Trail Duster is very...
It's still a little hazy. It just doesn't have the debris that the Annapolis has. The debris of the sea monkeys.
And now I've gone back to the Trail Duster. I'm like, oh, actually, it tastes crisper. And Oh, I like that.
Which is unfortunate because Annapolis Brewing, we're very excited for it. This is our favorite. Oh, wait, okay, now I've gone back to the Annapolis Brewing, and it's just as crisp. It's just as smooth, but there's just a tiny little unbalanced tail end and lack of citrus. I think I've decided on my numbers.
So exciting because I think I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's great. And then when you finish a little beer challenge and you say, which one am I going to like better? I like them the same.
But really?
And right off the bat, of course, I said they're so similar. When I cracked the second one, I said, oh, it's really similar. But now I'm kind of taking sips of both of them, one side by side. They are different. They're on the same page, but there is definite differences between the two, and I like them both.
Have we? I don't know that we've ever both the both of us been this close and requiring to go back and forth really quickly to decipher. They are so close, but there are differences.
There are.
It's blaring, obviously.
Oh my God, it's been chalk and cheese in the past. I'm a pale ale fan now.
Do you have any Trail Duster left?
Yeah.
I'm getting a honey flavor in that one suddenly. I don't know why, but it's just, it's almost like, it's like a mead now. I'm getting the sweetened.
When you
zip back and forth, this one is very honey.
Isn't it funny how they both contain, let's be honest, about 98% water, and yet they can taste so different.
You put, you know, five rat droppings in a glass of water and two ice cubes in another, and yeah, they're going to taste quite different, even though they're both 98% water.
But most
not that
of
I'm
the
suggesting case, that you put rat droppings in your water.
Well, I hope
How else are you going to?
That would be truly craft brewing. I think there is a definite in the texture alone. The texture, can I call it the texture? I'm not feeling it, but on the tongue itself, the Trail Duster is crisper. Mm. It has a crisper feel to me, and I find that the fifth anniversary by Annapolis is a smoother drink, but it has a dirtier texture to the American pale ale. Almost, I mentioned earlier on the Dirty Blonde by Nine Locks. It has like a hazy IPA finish. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm getting.
I'm not entirely sure, but where they are both smooth. All I can tell, going back and forth really quickly on a few quick sips, is that the Annapolis one has a more bitter aftertaste, a leave in your mouth of the bitter sticks around. And the Trail Duster keeps smoothing out down to the last tiny sip. The citrus might be gone fully, but it is just, yeah, it's easier and tastier. I have to give the win to the Trail Duster. Even for how long it's been in that closet, I have been holding on to this one for it may be 18 months sitting in there.
Yeah.
And it's still delicious. You get five claps is nine locks for the Trail Duster. Still delicious. An APA sitting in the closet for over a year, I'm sure. And I know the Annapolis Brewing is more recent and certainly not as far back as a year. But its bitter tail end profile and lack of citrus causes me to say that is more of a 7, potentially a 7.1. To the nine locks, easily 8. It is a full point ahead. Not the best thing I've ever tasted, but I feel like the Annapolis is a 7 and the nine locks is an 8. That's what I've... And I continued drinking back and forth and back and forth and having sips of water in between, but I'm pretty solidified in that.
Both my glasses are empty.
Oh, yeah, all four of them are.
I've flip-flopped between the two, between what I prefer and I can't, because they are, at first taste, they were very similar, but the further along I went, I hear you. They are quite different, but at the same time, if they are both in the same genre and they do have their slight differences, and it's difficult for me to even to put into words the difference between them. I like them both. I'd make it an absolute tie. I can't differentiate that. I would have them both, and I would have two or three more pints of them as well. Eights all around. I've got some mango and some peanuts to finish and some water afterwards as well. So I'm really happy. Eights across the board. They're both really, really good. Go and buy some pale ale.
Yeah. They're all APAs. Try out the APAs. I feel like it is an underrepresented style. You don't see a lot of them, but they are really interesting.
Yeah.
And the Trail Duster is just good. I think we need to, I need to continue reaching out. Long story short, I am reaching out to breweries who would like to speak, but I'm hearing very little back. Because either, again, it's one of those things of, okay, if you're making beer on a regular basis, you work at a brewery, are you checking all your social medias and your inbox and... Are you listening to someone who just says, hi, I'm a guy with like 2.5 listeners in a podcast. Would you like to come and talk to us? And get rid of it. I don't even care. We don't need to respond to that. So we're getting no responses, but I kind of understand that we're getting no responses.
It's okay, man. You started this and you was enjoying your beers. You're still enjoying your beers. And I think it's a great, I enjoy coming on here and hanging out with you every week. Oh, by the way, 5.5 and 5.1, what was it? 5.7 and 5.5. Yeah, they are a bit strong. I'm definitely feeling these. I was struggling over my English words.
Yeah, I should not drive any forklifts right now. I should not be operating heavy machinery.
I'm not about to go drive any aeroplanes or anything like that with anyone.
Not to brag, but after I've had some beers, and I say to myself, do not put me behind the wheel of a car right now. That is dangerous. I will not do that. However, I'll go upstairs and bake cookies or, you know, make popcorn or, you know, I can still change the diaper of my infant son. I can accomplish things, and I feel like a rather competent, drunken human at the best and or worst of times.
I would have thought this would be the perfect time to say, I can't change a diaper right now because I'm imbibed. I've had a little bit too much, and it might endanger some human life. And it is the perfect opportunity, Ross, to say, well, I can't do that.
I didn't know that was an option. Is that an option?
You could try it. Let me know how you get on.
See, the other problem there, and I can't wait to eventually have my good friend Jamie on the show talking about some beers, because we have the most ridiculous stories from we would take our sketch comedy group, and we would go up to St. John, New Brunswick, where we found three craft breweries that we loved, and B, lots of dances and late night shenanigans and get togethers and parties and this and that. And we're like, oh yeah, let's go. And you know, he and I were, so we're of a relative similar cloth of partying and making and having a good time and enjoying our time with our friends and everything. And then one night after, oh my goodness, that might have been the night that I was doing, oh man. Okay. So we're combining about six stories right now. So if at a fringe festival, I involved myself in an improv comedy night. I'd sign up for it because it was part of the fringe festival. And so I'm up there doing improv comedy, but the improv comedy night was sponsored by one of the local breweries. So there was this bucket of ice and beer in it. So someone got together and the improv team, and they decided that we should do improv night, but also drinking games. And so we got way too into the beer.
Pretty sure those two shouldn't be mixed. Not that I've done either of them much.
We got rather inebriated. There were nights, and then they'd have a dance afterwards, and we're, party down, party down. And then they said, oh, okay, this is the last one. Thanks. Good night, everybody. It's the end of the thing. It's like, you know, 12:30 at night, nearly 1 o'clock. And everyone's leaving. And Jamie and I had this thing. And I think it was invented that night. We noticed this thing because we both had kids, middling ages. My daughter's now 15. His son is, how old is he? 17. Oh, my God. Goodness, old. But at the time they were around, my kid was about 7, his kid was 10. And whenever something would happen, we would focus in on it. We eventually referred to this as dad mode. You just dad mode enabled. And at the end of the night, one night, this huge dance was happening. Like, yeah, having copious amounts of everything. And this guy was packing up all his gear. And due to the nature of the Fringe Festival, everything happened on the second floor of this theater, because the main floor was everything. So this guy had to tote all of his stuff down this big long staircase into his van. So, you know, Jamie and I come out, hey man, do you need a hand? And we almost said the words at the exact same time, like, boom, dad mode enabled. Do you need a hand, sir? Drunk off our asses completely. But the moment the necessity happens and you have to go, whoosh, I suddenly need to be responsible, and I need to assist everybody. I need to make sure that the netting is good so that the trapeze artists don't fall. Mm-hmm. And we helped the DJ load up all his gear into his car. He was so thankful. He said, oh, no one ever helps afterwards. We're like, it's all right, sir. We're from Nova Scotia. This is just how we do. And it's one of my favorite stories, where we invented dad mode and we helped the DJ pack up.
The closest I can come to that is it's not inventing dad mode, but a moment where the demon alcohol kind of got in the way of a little bit of professionalism. I was in a play. I'm going back about, I don't know, 25, 30 years. When I was in a production, I was in a play that caused for me, and I please don't ask me what it was. I think it may have been an Alan Ayckbourn play, I think, where the character I was playing was at a party, like an adult, not an adult party, but there was like two or three couples there. And through the party, I was supposed to be drinking and getting a little more drunk as I'm going through, right? Okay. I mean, a lot of that Akeborn plays were a bit like this. Now, the thing is, this was not a professional production. I was an amateur production. And I'd kind of taken it upon myself to think, and I can maybe have a couple of actual beers during the production to loosen my tongue a little bit and act as if I'm, and help out with my attempts to be a little bit more drunk as I'm going through. Well, it started off as a couple of beers on the early performances. And as I relaxed more into the run, I thought, I can do this. So by the end of it, I was having like 6 pints and I was doing the show. And at one point, I even remember, it was afterwards when a couple of the actors afterwards said, you called the other person by your own name on several occasions in the play. It's like, oh, did I? I didn't notice that. And I learned at that time that just because you can, most people would say, and I'm pretty sure that most, like many musicians or actors or whatever can say, they might have a little tot of something before a show just to settle their nerves. I don't know about you, but I always did when I was going to say, so I will always take a little something, just a tiny tot of something. And almost like a ritualistic thing, because I'm like, it's just a, I feel awful. I'm about to go on stage. I'm massively nervous. I'll take a little, just a tiny tot of something. But of course, when you get really familiar with your lines, you relax and you know them. Mm. I learned in that production where to draw the line. You don't go on and drinking alcohol. And in fact, with the manageress, bless her, afterwards, when she found out about it, she said, you're not going to do that again around me. I'm like, actually, no, I don't think I'm going to do that again.
I've always said that the butterflies, the little flutters, you know, the butterflies in your stomach is beneficial. It's really a part of the performance most times. Yep. So the nerves really brings the performance out. And I've fueled myself on that. And the times that I've been in a play where I had to sometimes being a character who drinks usually copious amounts of scotch in the two plays that I've had to be drinking, it's always iced tea. And in one of the plays, it started, I think in the script, he takes two quick splashes of iced tea. And I'd calculated it out. So I think by the end of the run, I was taking 7. I was just, every moment I had, I was stealing some of the hostess's scotch, which was just iced tea. So I have not done the fully drunk on stage. The drunken improv night, absolutely. Yes, that happens because, as you can tell, I certainly need some sort of inebriation to loosen my tongue and imagination to allow me to continue. It's a necessity.
All right, buddy. As usual, I've had fun. And as usual, I'm out of here. Good night. Cheers, Ross.
Holy cow. Stuff is happening. So thank you for joining us. You can check out our podcast on Spotify, on Apple, on Google, on everywhere else. We're here every week at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. My phone is ringing. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Good night.